Today is the 24th day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is truly fantastic. What a privilege that we have to be in a time where this can happen, where we can gather in this place that we call the Global Campfire as a community every day, where there's this kind of everyday rhythm and space for us, safe space for us to explore the inner workings of our own hearts as we allow the stories and teachings and convictions in the scriptures to challenge and reorient us to God. And so, gratitude, grateful, thank you for being here. Thank you for letting me be here with you today. And we come here every day to take another step on the journey through the scriptures. And so that's why we're here, to take another step. We're working our way through the book of 2 Kings at this point. Very dramatic story about pride yesterday, with the story of the Aramean military hero named Naaman and his interaction with the prophet Elisha. Let's continue forward. 2 Kings chapters 6 and 7 today. The company of prophets said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh no, my lord," he cried out, "it was borrowed." The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. And the man reached out his hand and took it. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told him, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cap of seed pods for 5 shekels. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, "Help me, my lord, the king." The king replied, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor? From the wine press?" Then he asked her, "What's the matter?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give up your son so we may eat him today, and tomorrow we'll eat my son.' So we cooked my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, 'Give up your son so we may eat him,' but she had it in him." When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robes. As he went along the wall, the people looked and they saw that under his robes he had sackcloth on his body. He said, "May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today." Now Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. The king sent a messenger ahead, but before he arrived, Elisha said to the elders, "Don't you see how this murderer is sending someone to cut off my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold it shut against him. Is not the sound of his master's footsteps behind him?" While he was still talking to them, the messenger came down to him. The king said, "This disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Elisha replied, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen?" "You will see it with your own eyes," answered Elisha, "but you will not eat any of it." Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say, 'We'll go into the city,' the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, "We went into the Aramean camp and no one was there. Not a sound of anyone. Only tethered horses and donkeys and the tents left just as they were." The gatekeepers shouted the news and it was reported within the palace. The king got up in the night and said to his officers, "I will tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we are starving, so they have left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking they will surely come out, and then we will take them alive and get into the city." One of his officers answered, "Have some men take 5 of the horses that are left in the city. Their plight will be like that of all the Israelites left here. Yes, they will only be like all these Israelites who are doomed. So let us send them to find out what happened." So they selected 2 chariots with their horses, and the king sent them after the Aramean army. He commanded the drivers, "Go and find out what has happened." They followed them as far as the Jordan, and they found the whole road strewn with the clothing and equipment the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. So the messengers returned and reported to the king. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a seah of the finest flour sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley sold for a shekel, as the Lord had said. Now the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gates, and the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died, just as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to his house. It happened as the man of God had said to the king, "About this time tomorrow, a seah of the finest flour will sell for a shekel and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." The officer had said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen?" The man of God had replied, "You will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of it." And that is exactly what happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died. Acts 15:36-16:15. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Psalm 142. A Maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaints. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Proverbs 17, 24 and 25. A discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. A foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the mother who bore him. Okay, a fascinating story with a very compelling but very mirror-like look into our own lives as its punchline. So the Arameans are besieging the capital city of Israel. And the capital city of Israel at this point is Samaria. We think of the capital city being Jerusalem, but that is the capital city of the nation of Judah now, because the kingdoms have split. So the capital city of Israel is Samaria. And things had gotten so bad in the siege that the city was starving. And people were consuming the dead to sustain themselves. And in all of this, the prophet Elisha makes this impossible claim: by this time tomorrow, the markets of Samaria, like everything will be plentiful by this time tomorrow. And nobody believes Elisha. I mean, how could they believe Elisha? They were facing this absolute disaster and were becoming like they were having to dehumanize themselves to stay alive. Meanwhile, there's four leprous men who are outside the city, and they're in all of it. They're going to die too, and they have like a conversation where it's like, look, if we go inside the city, everybody's starving there, we'll die. If we stay here, we're gonna die. And so let's just go surrender to the army. They might kill us and we'll die. But like, that's the only chance of staying alive. Maybe they won't kill us. And when they reach the edge of the Aramean camp, they don't hear any movement. They don't see any movement. Nothing is happening. It's empty. Everyone is gone. And as we read, they heard the sound like a mighty army, and so they thought that Israel had somehow gotten word out and hired armies to come and attack. And so they all fled, leaving everything behind, thinking that an army was about to descend on them and they would all be killed. And so here are these four leprous men kind of wandering around this encampment that has become a ghost town. And they enter one tent after another, and they feast, and they eat, and they drink, and they collect treasure, and they hide the treasure. And it's like the just anything that they want, they can have. And that's where it gets really interesting, because finally, after taking everything that they could and filling their bellies, they look at each other and say, "This is not right, because this is a day of good news, and we aren't telling anybody." And so they eventually do go in the night and give word, and the next day Samaria is plentiful again, exactly as Elisha had prophesied. The punchline, the mirror of the moment, is the leprous men and what they realize and what they say to each other. "This is not right. This taking and hiding, this is not right." I mean, as we apply that to our own lives, we have seen how humanity can be barbaric, even in this time. So much of our barbarity is in our words, but we can dehumanize entire groups of people in just a couple of sentences. We can consume our brothers and sisters around us in the same way. But that is not the way of God, at least not the God of the Bible. That is definitely not the way of Jesus. Jesus came to rescue humanity. And so often we find ourselves in this place where we're like these leprous men. We take, we hide, we feast on what is not ours, and we do not treasure the grace that has been offered to us. And so maybe those words, "This, what I'm doing, this, what I'm taking, it's not mine, this is not right, this that I'm giving, it is not mine to give, this is not right. This is a day of good news, and that is freely given. But I am giving dehumanizing barbarity. So, something to think about today." When the leprous men did give the news, everyone was rescued, including the lepers. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that, because in one way or another, this applies to every one of us. So we invite you to apply it to us, our hearts, in our own context. This is another opportunity for transformation, if we will have eyes to see and ears to hear. And so, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth, which will require our openness to it. And so open our eyes and open our ears to what you're speaking to our hearts. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. It is the website. Daily Audio Bible app is home base. That is the app. So check it out. Be connected and stay connected. We're hoping pretty soon. We've been working for 3 years on a brand new platform that includes a brand new app. And man, it has been a journey that has been complicated and very challenging and difficult, but looking forward to that. Looking forward to that hopefully soon as we continue to test it out and make progress there. So I can't wait to introduce that, because that will be more truly a home base than ever possible. But if you have the Daily Audio Bible app now, and if you don't, you should get it. That way you can kind of be alerted as all of this happens. Certainly we'll be talking about it, but check the Daily Audio Bible app out. While you're checking out, check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are some resources there that have been developed for the journey that we are on, whether that is to take the journey deeper or to take the journey wider. We're on the same journey together as we navigate this year, and so check out the resources that are available there. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anybody who will listen anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around the rhythm of just showing up for each other, if that has been and is life-giving to you, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, DAV family. This is Joanna from the Dominican Republic. I wanted to call in today to share a praise report and also a prayer request. So a few years ago, I called in to share about a really sad situation that we were going through. My husband and I were working on a ministry team with three other couples, and within the span of a year, between the four of us, we lost six babies. One was full term, three were within about 25 weeks, give or take, and two were earlier on, miscarriages. And it was just devastating. It was so hard. So I asked you all if you would pray for us, because we all were still hoping to have to be able to have kids. And while I'm sure you all know the grief of that doesn't go away, three of the other three couples. have been able to have kids and each have a healthy, happy baby and are doing well. My husband and I are still hoping and waiting to have kids. So I wanted to ask you to pray with us, join us in prayer that the Lord would open my womb and that that would be possible. And also praise Jesus for these three beautiful babies that we have. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Good morning. This is Lisa, long-term listener here. Very thankful for the Daily Audio Bible, for Brian and your family. God bless you all. Happy anniversary. I'm calling to ask you for help to pray for me and many, many other people in our country that are retired, very poor, that fall in that crack between being able to get help and not. And it is very, very difficult financially. It's a terrible struggle. Right now I'm trying to find a place to live, and I'm very concerned that I don't know what I'm going to be doing. So I truly do ask you to lift me up in prayer, and everyone else who would be going through this is older, that, God will just make a way where there is no way for us. We know He can and we know He will. And thank you all so kindly. I pray along with all of you each morning. God bless every one of you. Thank you, Jesus. Bye-bye.
My name is John in Southern Indiana. And I couldn't talk before too much because I was crying too much. But the Lord has healed me enough to be able to talk. And now my wife is still in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I'm here in Indiana. And I'd like to see her, but I can't because of court orders. It's all my fault. I'll take the blame for everything that happened in my divorce. But I need help from God. And He knows everything, about everything. So please pray for me. My name is John in Southern Indiana. Once again, I have two granddaughters and two kids. Bye.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I wanted to pray for Junk the Treasure friend, who the one who called in was in prison. He just got released, and I want to pray for him. I want to pray for Sheila from Saskatchewan's friend, who's going through a legal situation. And dealing with her son. I also want to pray for Louisa, who's having a heart surgery. I wanted to pray for her that God will have His way. Gracious Father, we just ask You to have Your way. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask You to touch that legal situation. You are lawyer in the courtroom, Lord. You show Yourself mighty, just as You did so many times before. You're a God that can do anything. Lord, You lift her heart in them, and You have Your way in our life. Lord, You ended that surgery, Lord. You touch that doctor. You touch the lawyer. You touch the people around there that are helping with the operation. And, Lord, You have Your way. Let Your will be done in that heart surgery, Lord. You bring her out, Lord. With a mighty fist. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, touch those that are going through the challenges, Lord. Oh, Father, touch Tammy, Lord, who's going through challenges. We just ask You to have Your way. And, Lord, we'll give You the glory and the honor and the praise. We just ask You for Louisa's friend, Cheryl, and her heart surgery, Lord. Continue to guide her. Continue to keep her. And, Lord, we'll be ever so careful. You touch all the dabbers, Lord. Give them life and favor. Open doors for them, Lord, that no man can close. And Lord, you encourage their heart and have them keep looking to You, knowing that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and them that are called according to His purpose. Have a good day, Gabriel. Love you.